folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week, we do love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime, call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer, sound engineer, and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. But actually, you know what? It feels like, Tigger, you're hijacking the show this week.
I'm hijacking your show because I had the chance to learn something absolutely fascinating about the wildlife industry, exotics, if you will. Now, normally I'm focused on the cow stuff, right? But when I had the chance to learn about the seed stock business in the exotic industry, I jumped on the chance. Nash Murray with NT Exotics out of Texas joins us today. First, I need to get a feel for what you're selling, Nash. Breeding animals, embryo semen, all of the above?
Yeah, we do it all. We sell a lot of semen. We sell a lot of embryos. We sell a lot of sires. Kind of all around anything that goes into creating a successful herd and increasing your genetics. That's kind of where we hone in on.
So who would be your customer base that you're going to? Is it to other producers that they have their own herds and maybe they are doing some guided hunts or something? You're going to say all the above in this. I'm answering my own question.
Yeah, you're right on path. It's all of the above. You know, we're trying to say, hey, this is a same style lifestyle that you get from ranching cattle. And as the world progresses and the concrete jungles kind of close in on you, and now all of a sudden, you know, your ranching land is subdivided because all of a sudden your siblings didn't really have the passion and the love for.
Did you meet my family apparently when you're saying that?
I did not, but you know, I've been around it long enough to know that that's kind of what happens, right? And your land that was once viable for running a cattle operation is now subdivided down, and you're sitting there looking at a couple hundred acres, and you're like, man, what am I going to do? I can't raise enough cattle off of this to provide for my family. And that's where we kind of come in and say, look, there's an alternative livestock option that with a little bit more return and a less of a footprint on the land, and that's where exotic hoof stock really comes in, and you can still maintain that same type of Western lifestyle, so to speak. I know that's something that you guys talk about on your show, so it's kind of appealing in that sense.
So let's use that scenario of, say, 200 acres or a quarter. We'll just say,
Jeff, I'm going to blow your mind.
Blow my mind.
This is something that people have very successful on 20 acres of land.
How many can you run on 20 acres? Let's use that scenario. Create to me. I come to you and I've got 20 acres that I want to do something with. There's not enough. My kids aren't showing the dragon steers around no more. I'm too busted up in the rodeo business. And I've got 20 acres and I'm looking at this as a possible option to create another income stream. So tell me, what does that look like?
Yeah, obviously it depends on what type of grass you're on, what type of terrain you're on. But in a good improved pasture setting, you can run average about 25 head per 2 acres. So, you know, you go ahead and run that up. Obviously, there's going to be supplemental feeding in there.
Of course, right.
But yeah, you can run about 25 head per 2 acres. So that's 250 animals on 20 acres. That's a lot of animals that you can run on that.
Yeah, that's kind of an incredible stocking rate from my perspective. So then let's keep going with that scenario of that 20 acres. So then what do I do after that? I it's crazy I'm asking these questions when I've been in the other business, the other hooved business, if you will, for 6 generations. But so then what am I doing? And I'm sorry if I'm asking really basic questions, but is it that we're processing this deer like we would beef on a commercial basis?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? There's multiple levels of doing this, right? There's some people that, hey, they just want to sell their weanlings, just like you would do in a cattle operation. And then you have another producer down the road that says, hey, I want to take your weanlings and I'm going to grow them out, just like you would from a butchering standpoint or from a feedlot standpoint. But however, instead of that, they're turning them out to a pasture to harvest them from a game ranch aspect. But then there's also people that say, hey, I'm going to grow mine out fully, and then I'm going to sell them to the game ranch myself. I'm going to cut out that middleman.
Is this considered seed stock, using my language, on the cow side? Are we talking that we would consider your outfit a seed stock?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, we kind of try to hit every category the best we can, right? We're always looking to advance our herd and advance our genetics. So we kind of uniquely be able to fit into multiple layers of the industry. You want to get in, we can give you the startup herd, and we can give you a business plan that can fit your needs. It's just really, which way do you want to go on this?
Us in the cattle business, we understand that there is a symbiotic relationship between running cattle and running wildlife. When you have a healthy wildlife stand, and I'm going to take my perspective from in the north where we have a lot of pheasants and we have a lot of deer. If we have a healthy stand of wildlife, we have a thriving pasture, we have thriving grasses, we have thriving water habitat, and our livestock thrive as well. There's that symbiotic relationship. So when we are moving into more of a controlled environment of raising deer like this, I'm going to pick on the axis deer, that's what I just looked at, does that complement a livestock operation? Because in terms of management, maybe I still have my cows, I'm still doing that, but maybe I have this other section of grass that doesn't fit into my program and scenario as another option. So how do those two enterprises, how do they mix together?
I would say that in this scenario, you would probably want to isolate the two and separate them. That way, because of from a supplemental steed, you know, supplemental feeding aspect, you don't want your cattle sitting there at your feed trough whenever you're trying to feed out your bucks.
And vice versa, that right?
Yeah, and vice versa. These exotic hoofstock that we're talking about, fallow and axis, they're actually more grazers than browsers. So, you know, you're probably sitting here thinking about whitetail and you're talking about the symbiotic relationship there. Actually, in this scenario, your fallow and your axis are more like your cattle. They're going to eat more grass. And so it would almost be not as much of a symbiotic relationship. It'd be a little bit more competitive, so to speak.
Now, I'm not done with Nash with NT Exotics. We'll have more with him and the rest of the Bend Show when we come back.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to the Bend Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist.
Country music's Trace Adkins. Live in concert Thursday, May 14th at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana. One of country music's hottest performers with special guests, Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler. Tickets on sale now at buckinghorsesale.com. Trace Adkins with Corb Lund and Kenny Fiedler at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, Miles City, Montana. That honky-tonk, the donkey-donk. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, the nation's largest seed stock supplier, invites you to the ranch in Ideal, South Dakota for the 54th annual Top Cut Angus Bull Sale powered by the Motherlode. Featuring 200 registered Angus bulls backed by proven maternal strength and long-term cowherd value. All sale information at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. For 54 years, the Top Cut Sale has been the standard for practical, performance-driven Angus genetics. Jorgensen Land and Cattle at the ranch Monday, April 20th. Welcome back to the Bend Show. I bet I have sparked some interest out there, or at least some curiosity, talking to Nash Murray with NT Exotics. Here's more.
So do you have a sale every year that you're selling bucks in, or you know, private treaty on the website? I'm so fascinated. I'm curious how they price out, because you're talking to somebody in the cow world, and you're completely educating me on something new.
We have different tiers, right? So some of these trophy style animals like you see back here, I mean, these animals that you see here, that's the largest fallow in the world. They're one of a kind. So whenever you're talking about big high trophy animals, you know, this past year when we sold, I don't know, about 70 or so, that kind of averaged out about 12,500 a head that we sold there. But then
you're talking take full possession of that animal. You're not talking about straws of semen or something. That's taking full possession.
Yes, okay. That's full possession of the animal. From a semen straw standpoint, when you're talking about the top end, biggest deer of the world, you're looking somewhere around 3,500 to 5,000 per straw. And that's,
oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's splittable two ways. So they get two breedings out of that. But you know, going back to pricing on the female perspective, I mean, we have some that will go for $2,000, you know, bred does that will go for $2,000, and we have some that people come in and spend over six figures on. So, I mean, it's really a wide plethora and range that we have. Again, we're the anomaly being at the top of this industry, and it's a growing industry. You know, the year before, I just told you $12,500 on those stocker shooter bucks. The year before, it was $8,500. I mean, it's just growing so rapidly and so quick.
So what is the conception rate of if I'm doing some artificial insemination? Because you said that, you know, $3,000, $3,500, $4,000 for a straw semen, we can get two breedings out of those. What's the conception rate and how do I do this? Who needs to, I went to AI school so I can breed my own cows, but do I need a practicing veterinarian to do this? Who does this?
If you're doing laparoscopic AI, then yes, you would need a practicing veterinarian to do that because it's considered invasive whenever it's laparoscopic. But when you're doing transcervical, you could do transcervical AI on these yourself. However, you know, you need a little bit more semen, as you're aware of, when you do transcervical. So transcervically, I wouldn't recommend splitting that straw. I would say use the full straw transcervically.
And what's that conception rate on AI?
Transcervical, it's not as quite as high. I think it's probably around the 50-55% conception rate. But when you talk about laparoscopic, you move up to the 65-70% rate. And obviously that's how well you manage your herd, right? You're very familiar with that. You know, you have some that do better than others, and you kind of have a cull rate that you work your way out of. And I think that a lot of new producers getting into it, they're finding that out. So that could fluctuate. It could, I would say, on average, looking at a 45 to 50 until you work your way up.
So NT Exotics, and I'm assuming that this is the situation where you have to almost come in as a consultant for a potential customer, like somebody like me from the beef background. You have to educate me in a different way about a whole new enterprise, because we're asking all of these extremely basic questions, but there's obviously the financial commitment and facilities change, management changes, thought pattern changes, the control changes. So you folks come in, I'm assuming, and acting as a consultant to really break this down, because to put together a successful program for me is going to be different for Macy. It's going to be different for Mariah. It's going to be different for every place in operation.
Of course, that's kind of what we do. It's one of the things that I always ask people whenever we're dealing with them as a client. I say, you know, now let's talk about this. Where do you vision, you know, what kind of vision do you have in your operation?
What's the purpose? Why are we doing this in the first darn place, right?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, where are we going with this? Are you trying to harvest these yourself? Are you trying to just, you know, maintain a lifestyle that you currently have? And we try to plug in there and give them a lot of different scenarios. That's what I think is so much crossover and so much uniqueness to this, right? Because from your side, when you're talking about high-end breeding level cattle ranchers, and then you have the people that are just raising for purely to send them to market. You know,
and some for just the love of the game because they want to have the cute little fluffy cow over here, right?
Exactly. Some of them just a novelty and it's just a hobby that they just want to have some on there. And then you have the other guys that just say, hey, I just want the tax exemption, right? I got 5 acres and I'm speaking from Texas. I don't know what it is for you guys, but hey, I've got 5 acres. I can throw some cattle on there and I get a nice little ag exemption on my land. So it's really custom tailoring what that looks like to them and then fostering that relationship long term to be there and help, because I think that, as just like you see here, whenever you lean on each other and the industry grows, everybody succeeds. So I grew up in a rural small town in Texas, and I saw all my friends and stuff kind of be involved in this stuff. Well, I left town and went to the Marine Corps when I got
respect.
Thank you. When I got out of the Marine Corps, my brother, he's my best friend, but he's a brother to me. He said, hey, you know, I think I'm going to get into the deer business. And I showed up one day and I said, what are you talking about, deer business? And he starts telling me, and I was like, huh, okay, have fun at that. That sounds cool. And fast forward a few years and he's in the deer business and asked me to start coming and helping him. So I start coming down there and helping him, and I get introduced to it. And then I decided one day I wanted to, finally finish my degree in biology. So I volunteered to work at the ranch full time while I finished my degree in biology. And, you know, it kind of paralleled as I'm sitting there taking these science courses and I'm looking at how we can improve this from a biological standpoint. I started, putting in my 2 cents and my feedback from it, and really started to increase the return on investment from a nutritional standpoint. I also created a custom feed for these animals. Part of the reason you see that we're at the top of the industry is because of that feed program. So yeah, then that just materialized into an opportunity to buy my own place, and eventually I did that, bought my own place, and then the people that I used to work with, it was kind of like a co-op, as you can imagine, right? From ranchers always helping ranchers out, kind of the same type of environment, and we just said, hey, why don't we just all put this in one pot and just become partners? And that's what we did, and the rest is history. We just kind of grew and blew up from there.
Nash Murray with NT Exotics. I highly recommend checking out their website, ntranchtx.com, and just look at some of the deer that they're offering. Axis deer and fallow, which are absolutely magnificent, to say the least. Gets a person thinking, doesn't it?
This really has been interesting, especially for the folks that may be limited on acreage.
That's why I did this little interview, because I was thinking about it and how many people maybe live on like 4 or 5 acres or 10 acres, or say that their kids graduated high school and they're not showing steers anymore, or they're not dragging some lambs around anymore. Their kids aren't rodeoing or something like that, but they still have some land and they want to kind of turn it into a little bit more of an income producing property. That's why I did this interview with Nash. I was obviously completely fascinated the whole time I was talking to him.
Well, I got to say, sitting on the sidelines, I'm going to put it this way, since you hijacked the show there,
I kind of took it over, the whole thing, didn't I?
It was fascinating, because a lot of times you hear folks that are getting into maybe a hobby business, or they want to do a little bit of farming or ranching, but you don't hear a lot about bringing in the wildlife side.
The wildlife, yeah.
You usually hear more about, you know, goats, llamas,
little fluffy cows,
exactly.
The little Highlanders, or
so
something like that.
I find this fascinating. And if you want to see pictures of
gotta go on their website.
Yes, yes. Tigger, do you know that website again?
It's ntranchtx.com. ntranchtx.com.
There you have it. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Bend Show. We'll be back right after this.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy, and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelvy and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelvy and Balancer females, they make it work. The world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day matched bronc ride events on the planet. Join us on Sunday, May 17th at the fairgrounds for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $50,000 purse. Plus, add to the excitement parimutuel wagering. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for full schedule and tickets. The world-famous Mile City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck and Ride Long. It's my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, it wouldn't be The Bend Show if we didn't have a little bit of news for y'all. So here we go. First off, we head to Louisiana. A Louisiana fisherman is facing serious charges after allegedly lying about where he caught a trophy-sized bass in an attempt to claim a reward. Jody K. Genie of Leesville was arrested after submitting a 12-pound largemouth bass to a local Lunker program, which rewards anglers who catch fish over 10 pounds with a free replica mount. To qualify, participants must truthfully report where the fish was caught and release it back into the same body of water. Genie claimed he caught the fish at Toledo Bend Reservoir, but wildlife agents had already seen him earlier that day at a different location, Vernon Lake, where he proudly showed off the same fish. Distinct markings on the bass, along with social media photos, helped confirm the fish's true origin. Authorities say Genie later admitted to falsifying the information. He now faces charges of attempted theft and forgery, which could carry a penalty of up to 10 years in prison. Officials say the program is designed to promote conservation and highlight trophy fishing opportunities, not to be exploited. The incident has stirred local attention, especially after a second person reportedly tried to submit the same fish weeks later. Wildlife authorities emphasize that honesty is essential to keeping such programs fair and effective.
Now, I doubt they're going to throw him in the clink for 10 years for that.
I doubt he'd get 10 years.
I think the fines, excuse me, need to be exorbitant for something like that. But what are the chances somebody with the same fish? So, my opinion, no, he doesn't need to be thrown away or locked away and you throw away the key, but he should be fine.
But at the same time, this is one of those, I do appreciate them coming down lately, kind of coming down on those that keep ruining it for others. This was a great lunker program, encouraging folks to reel in the biggins, but then throw them back in. And I thought that was a pretty neat reward. If you did that and you could prove where you got it from, you would get a replica.
Yep.
So I don't know. He shouldn't get prison time, I don't think. But at the same time,
you're saying make an example out of him is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
She is a tough one, crew.
Now let's turn our sights to Idaho. Idaho has passed a new law making it much harder to qualify for a lifetime hunting or fishing license after complaints that out-of-state hunters were exploiting the system. Previously, applicants only needed to live in Idaho for 6 months to qualify. Under the new law, that requirement increases to 5 years of consecutive residency. This change takes effect, by the way, July 1st, 2026. Lawmakers say the update targets people who briefly moved to Idaho, bought a lifetime license at a lower resident cost, and then moved away, while still benefiting from resident status in future hunting tag drawings. State Representative James Petsky, who introduced the bill, said the goal is to ensure these licenses go to people who genuinely commit to living in the state. The licenses, which can cost several hundred to over $1,000 depending on age, allow hunters and anglers to remain in the resident pool for tag draws even if they later leave Idaho. That made them especially appealing to non-residents looking for long-term advantages. Groups like the Idaho Wildlife Federation supported the change, noting concerns from residents about so-called loophole users, sometimes involving remote workers or hunting influencers temporarily relocating. While officials haven't provided exact numbers of misuse, thousands of lifetime licenses have been issued in recent years. Supporters argue the new five-year rule better reflects the program's intent, rewarding long-term residents, not short-term opportunists. Idaho now has one of the strictest residency requirements in the country for lifetime sporting licenses, second only to Wyoming. Here's a quick sample of other states, by the way, with residency requirements, and they do typically have to be consecutive years of residency. 10 years, as we mentioned, was Wyoming with the strictest, then 1.5 years for Mississippi, 1 year residency for Arkansas, Kansas, Minnesota, New York, Tennessee, 6 months for Arizona, California, Texas, and only 30 days is needed in West Virginia. Those are just a couple examples. I just thought this was a neat story to share because I hadn't realized people were actually, packing up and moving to Idaho for 6 months just to get that tag.
You know, when I moved away from home for a while and then moved back and I was getting my hunting license, I had to get an out-of-state hunting license to hunt my own land.
That your family has owned for generations.
That my family owned since the beginning of time because I wasn't here long enough. Now, was I madder than blazes?
Yes.
Absolutely about that deal. But I completely understand, especially now as you're reading this and they're justifying why you have to prove residency for X amount of time, years in this case. Now I understand. So my mood has come down a little bit.
Well, I look at this ever since COVID, let's be real, remote working has become a norm for a lot of folks.
Right.
As well as social media at that time really blew up with influencers, as we may call them. And I guess it hadn't crossed my mind that folks were actually moving and when they only have to move for 6 months to get themselves into a lottery system.
Into a great hunting area, you know, like Idaho.
I don't blame a state like Idaho picking it up and saying, you know, we got to make a change and changing their laws. I can't blame them on that one. But you know what? I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Feel free to reach out.
Opening up a can of worms, babe.
I know I am, but I'm kind of curious because this is kind of controversial for those that either live in states where they've lived there for a long time, or maybe for those that are migrating through. Maybe they have a more nomad type lifestyle. They're allowed to work from anywhere.
Working at a job location for a while,
yes,
or something like that.
Yes, I'm just interested to find out what other people's thoughts are. And not on just this topic, also that previous story where I said, you know, they're coming down a little bit on those guys that are anglers, maybe cheating the system. I'd like to hear some thoughts. And that email address, by the way, you can send an email to is BendRadioShow@gmail.com, or you can call or text 305-900-2363. And we're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending in any of the questions you might have. If you know of something spot-worthy we need to share with everyone else, that number again, you can call or text anytime, is 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email BendRadioShow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, TheBendShow.com. And be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we branch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.